Blog Talk Radio.
It is 8:01 in California. I almost had to think about that for a minute. If you are in the Pacific Coast area, it is 8:01 and it is Friday the 17th. If you are in places like Louisiana, Texas, where else? New Orleans, it is 10:01. And if you are lucky enough to be on the East Coast, like New York, New Jersey, it is 11:01. I'm really thinking about doing something different with my show. I'm thinking about it actually instead of 8 a.m. on Mondays. I may do 8 p.m. or even 6 p.m. on Mondays because I know I have a few people who tell me, you know what, Sugar, I like listening to you, but it's so late I have to listen to the rebroadcast, which is fine. You don't have to listen to me live, but I'm really thinking about doing something for my East Coast listeners as well as my, what would you call Western listeners? I don't know. So I'm really thinking about doing 6 a.m. on Monday afternoon or evening or whatever, but that's something that we'll discuss a little bit later as time goes on. How's everybody this evening? Is everybody ready for the weekend? I know you don't have any damn thing to do, and since you're on quarantine, you're basically going to be probably watching movies or TV or whatever. Next week, we'll probably talk about things you can do when you're at home and just relaxing and, you know, watching the clock or whatever, or not watching the clock. But before I get started with our subject today, which our topic, which is anxiety, panic attacks, and visual migraines. Yes, visual migraines, it is a thing. I'm going to just say this. Stay your ass at home. There are so many people that I've seen that's just out and about, just BS. And we're going to talk about that, too, on an upcoming show where people are actually going to Walmart, Target, and other stores just to be looked at. I understand being at home drives you crazy. You think you need to get out, but you're endangering other people. So stay your ass at home, please. If not for yourself, for me, you know, or if not for me, for someone that you care about, just stay your ass at home. Okay. I've already said that. That's something that, you know, I had to get off my chest. I'm sorry. Now, today, or this evening, rather, we're going to talk about, again, panic attacks, visual migraines, and anxiety. And I'm going to tell you guys the reason why I had been gone or not visible, so to speak, on Facebook and on my blog talk show, my YouTube, and trying to recover from a lot of things that happened to me. Maybe almost 3 years ago, someone near and dear to me almost died, and it was something that shaped my life to even to the point of today, to the point where I just couldn't seem to be back on track with my life. Everything just stood still at that time, and my life had just changed dramatically. If you ever have someone close to you that goes through a life or death situation, it changes who you are if you're really close to them. And it did change me. It changed me a lot to the point where, as I say, everything stopped for me at that moment. And it's just now, my life is just now starting to get back on track, and I'm starting to find another purpose or what have you. Almost a year ago, I was at work, and my work was, if people that know me, my work was extremely stressful. It was a day-to-day stress, just every day. it was something new and something I had to deal with and something I had to cope with. But I managed to do so, even though it was driving me crazy. And I would come home and I would be like, damn, you know, what's wrong with me? It was really going, I was going through a lot and didn't even realize how much, you know, what I was going through. I had no clue at the time that I was having panic attacks and anxiety. Now, for people who don't realize it, there is a difference in panic and anxiety. There really, really is. I know I didn't even know this either until I really started researching it and also talking to my doctor. That anxiety attacks are usually extended over a long period of time, like something that you go through daily or what have you. The symptoms is normally muscle tension, disturbed sleep, difficulty concentrating, fatigue, and restlessness. And there's a whole lot more, but that's the main ones. Panic attacks are usually quick and more intense, like shaking, chest pains, discomfort, heart palpitations, fear of dying, losing control, feeling of choking. Now, at this time, right now, I can admit to you I'm having anxiety attacks. I'm having quite a few of them. And I'm sure a lot of people are too, because when you go through something like this right now where you're going through quarantine and this COVID-19, it is expected you're going to have some anxiety because you don't know what's going on. You have no clue what's going on, not only, you know, today, but tomorrow or whatever, even the next minute. You're afraid if you go outside, you know, you'll get it. You got to wear gloves. You got to wear a mask. You know, you've got to clean everything or whatever, wash your hands, you know, on and on and on again. But it can create anxiety for you because you're doing stuff that normally you wouldn't do. Of course, you wash your hands. Don't get me wrong, but we don't. And I'll admit, maybe you guys, I never wash my hands every 30 minutes or every hour. I just wouldn't. Unless something happened, I needed to wash them, I would. But other than just getting up and going to the bathroom, go, okay, I got to wash my hands, singing happy birthday for two times. And this is something different for me. It's something new for me. And the anxiety of it is that even though I'm not a person that likes to go out and party or whatever, this is still driving me crazy. The anxiety of it, just to know that, okay, what's going on here? What am I have to deal with tomorrow? You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm on social media and you see it every day, all day. Okay, so let's push that back for a moment. Panic attack. I was getting those when I was working and, again, did not even realize it. I remember sometimes I would get to work, and I remember the last time this happened, that majorly happened. This happened beyond that, but this was in, I think it was in June, like middle June of last year. I was at work, and I felt just overwhelmed, like really overwhelmed. I started shaking. My heart felt like it was about to jump out of my chest. I didn't feel any choking, but I did feel like a fear that I was losing control and I couldn't, you know, catch a hold of myself. I had chest pains, discomfort, sweating, shaking. So I called my husband. I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just not, described the symptoms to him. And I thought this was anxiety because, like I said, I've had anxiety on and off, you know, most of my life. So I kind of thought it was anxiety. I've had panic attacks too, but I didn't even associate with this with a panic attack. So he told me, he said, okay, let me come and pick you up. We're going to go to ER. I'm thinking, I don't want to go to ER. I have no reason to go to ER. This is just, you know, I just wanted to tell him. I just really wanted him to pick me up and take me home and just let me go ahead and rest off. So I went to ER. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, I was hoping after I got to ER that they would tell me, okay, you know what, we're going to take you off work, because normally that has been the routine. I go in, something's normally wrong with me, even though I really was taking care of myself, but they would go, you know what, you know, we're going to go ahead and take you off work for a little while and you can go back to work once you feel better. So I was looking and anticipating that that's what they were going to do, but they did all my tests. They did everything, was like, you know what, you're fine. There's nothing really wrong with you. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are you talking about? There's nothing wrong with me. I'm going through these stages. And they were like, okay, you know, I really don't know what you're going through, but there's nothing really wrong with you. So I went back home. And as I went back home, I felt better. Got up the next morning, went to work. Everything was fine. I had no problems. Then the day after, I went through those whole things to this point. I was having a heart attack. I really felt like I was having a heart attack. I had chest pains. I could hardly breathe. And me being the person I am, I'm on the internet looking up the symptoms and what does a heart attack. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. And I really felt like I was really having one. Everything pointed to it. The fact that my, you know, I had chest pains. I felt like I was dying. I was choking. I was going through so much. And I honestly thought I was having a heart attack. So I went to ER. My husband took me to ER again. And they, you know, put all those things on you to see what your heart is and what, you know, if it's racing or whatever, if you're having a heart attack. So they did it to see if I was having a heart attack, and I was laying there like in panic mode, even more so. So the nurse came and said, the doctor, you know, tested you, and he'll be in to see you. So the doctor came in, and he said, you're not having a heart attack, honey. I don't know what's going on, but you're not having a heart attack. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I know I'm having one. To me, I felt like I know I was having one. I knew it. I knew to my gut I was having a heart attack. He kept saying, well, I can't see anything. You know, your heart rate is up, but, you know, you're not having a heart attack. So I went home again, and the next couple of days were fine. It really was. I had no issue. So I go to work, and the symptoms comes up again for me. So I'm panicking, but not allowing myself to panic, if that makes any sense, because I don't want to show again, because my husband was a little bit, I don't know. He kind of was like, you're not having a heart attack, not knock it off, but you're not having a heart attack. You need to stop it. Because to him, he kept saying, you're looking up shit, you know, online, and you're going through this, and you're not having a heart attack. You're just not. So stop it. But in my mind, I was having a heart attack, that I was dying. My whole shoulder, because I read too, the blades of my shoulder blades, I had read that with women, when you have pains in your blades of your shoulder blades, that means a heart attack. Not all the time, it's chest pains. In other words, you know, those chest pains you hear about that it grabs your chest and you can't breathe. I wasn't having that. But everything else, the sweating, the, you know, the confusion, everything in my shoulder blade was hurting. And I read that when you're a woman, your shoulder blade normally means you're having a heart attack. So here I'm again. I call this man. I'm like, I'm having a heart attack. So he comes home. I could tell he was a little irritated, and not so much as me having a heart attack. He had to come home from work, but the fact that he felt in his heart that I was reading, and I was kind of like not pretending to have the symptoms, but working up the symptoms myself, I should say. So I went to the doctor again. This time I went to urgent care. I didn't want to go to ER, because ER, my place, even though I love my hospital, it's always crowded because people, you know, it's a damn good hospital. So I went to urgent care. They laid me down, did the EKG. I'm sitting there, well, laying there, rather, you know, the EKG. The nurse comes in, and she comes in, and she checks it, and she goes out, and the doctor wants me to check it again. So she comes back. She left it on me, so she didn't take it off. So she comes back. She takes the EKG again. She said, the doctor be with you. Don't move. So I'm thinking, okay, what the hell's going on here? So my doctor comes in. Not my doctor, but the urgent care doctor comes in, and he informs me that I either were having a heart attack or I had had one within a few hours. So, of course, you know, my whole heart just dropped. My husband's face, you should have saw his face. He looked like, oh, my God. So I'm at this point, I'm like, oh, my God, I've had. He said, yeah, you know, I believe you've had a heart attack is what he said. You know, he kind of changed it. He said, I'm going to go ahead and call the ambulance and send you to ER. So I'm like, no. My husband said, no, I can take her. He said, well, you know, we have to sign off. So I did have to sign off. And the reason why I did not let them take me in the ambulance, because I've done it before, and it really is, urgent care is like maybe even not even five minutes away from the hospital. And I felt that I could go. So I went, he gave me a piece of paper, and I went, gave it to the young lady. And as soon as I gave it to her, they called me in there, and they checked everything. And she was like, she's like, you, she said, this paperwork says that you either are having a heart attack or that you had one. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, okay. So she did another, they did another EKG on me and they took me through the back room. I got priority before everybody else, probably because it, you know, they thought I was having a heart attack. So I went in there. And as I went in, the doctor did another EKG. So at this point, I'm panicking my ass off because I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. What the, you know, what are you guys doing? You know, I, again, I didn't have the pain in the chest, but I did have the sweatiness. I did have all the other symptoms of a heart attack. So the doctor came in and he says, you're not having a heart attack. He said, you haven't had a heart attack. So I explained to him what urgent care said. He said, well, I don't care what urgent care said. You have not had a heart attack. He said, you're having a panic attack. And I'm like, what? I had no idea that a panic attack could feel like a heart attack. I had no clue of that at the time. I didn't know. I really didn't know. Because all the other panic attacks I had didn't have the symptoms of the sweating, the heart going fast. You know, it just didn't have that. So he said, is there anything that's happening right now that is making you feel, you know, anxious or you know, that you're panicking about? And I was like, you know, no. So my husband said, her job. He's like, well, how long have you been working? Is it a new job? I'm like, no, I've been working now for you know, many, 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 many years. It's a stressful job. He says, no, something else is causing this. He said, what's going on? So he said, really nice doctor. Oh, my God, he was such a sweetheart because he sit there with a piece of paper in hand, and he actually talked to me. He didn't talk at me. He talked to me. So he ended up saying, you know, let me get an expert, someone who, you know, is really more – you know, dealing with heart problems and everything. So he called this doctor in, and from the doctor was at home, he even called him in on me. And wow, I can't tell you how special I felt that this doctor came in. So anyway, the doctor came in and he checked me. He was like, you know, I don't know, you know, why you feel like it. So he was sitting there just asking me questions. So what's this, what's that? And the funny part about it is that my husband said, well, she lost her credit card, and after that, she just panicked. You know, she just started having this. So he said, did you lose your credit card or was it the credit card bill that made you do that? You know, kind of like trying to ease the thing. I didn't think it was funny at the time. Now I think it's hilarious. And my husband said, no, she lost her credit card. He said, okay, you're having a panic attack. So what he did was he gave me something for the panic attack. I think it was Xanax. And he gave me the Xanax for the panic attack. And the next thing I know, I was asleep. I was out. I was done. When I woke up, I felt better. I felt refreshed. And he was telling me, you're having panic attacks. I don't want to, you know, give you Xanax. You know, I feel like your doctor needs to give you this if this is something that's going to keep going. So, of course, I felt like, okay, I can handle this. You know, I'm a big girl. I can handle this panic attack. I can handle this. You know, I can, I need to focus, need to stop being a wimp or whatever, and I need to handle this. So all of a sudden at work, my eyesight started getting like really fuzzy and weird and blurry, just like really, really blurry, to the point where I was like, okay, what's going on now? I saw like sparkles in my eyes, like Christmas lights. I can't even describe it other than that. It was like, you know how you see red, blue, you know, Christmas lights flashing? Well, that's what my eyesight showed, like Christmas lights flashing. And I was like, oh, my God, what's going on with me? So the first thing I thought, I'll admit, I looked it up, and it was saying something like when your cornea or something like that is getting detached from your eye, that's what you go through. And I started panicking again, thinking, okay, this is what's going on. So I went to my doctor, went to urgent care, and the urgent care doctor said, you know, I don't know. We're going to have to get an eye doctor in here because I honestly don't know. You know, and he even said that this may be what it is. So at this point, I'm really panicking, really getting scared. And about maybe I'm going to call him. He's at home. I'm going to call him and have him come. So the urgent care, there is a an eye doctor like right like in the place where it is because I go to Facey Medical, and there is a it's a hospital. Then there's urgent care. Then there's a you know, place for your eyeglasses and what so on and what so forth. So the doctor finally came in. You know, they took me over. They wheelchaired me over there. He checked my eyes. I was, you know, my right leg was like shaking, just bouncing, because I'm so fearful that, okay, this is what's going on, you know. So when he checked it, And he said, no, what's going on is that you're having visual migraines. So I'm looking at this doctor like, what the fuck are you talking about? What is a visual migraine? I don't have a headache. I don't have a migraine. He says, well, some people have migraines where it affects their vision. And I'm sitting here going, what a quack. Seriously, I'm thinking to myself, you're full of shit. There's no such thing as a visual migraine. You can't tell me that what I'm seeing right now without a headache is something to do with a visual migraine. Because my first thought was, honestly, I thought I was going blind. I really did. So he said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. It just has to go its course. Sounds familiar? So I went home still having these visual migraines, and it stopped. I went to work, and it started up again. So I called my husband to pick me up. I went home, and I started having the visual migraines again. I'm like, you know what? I need to go back to the hospital. So I went back to urgent care, and at this time, I went early enough. It was a couple of days. I went early enough where the, you know, where the eye center was already open. So I went back, saw another doctor, and she checked, and she said, you're having visual migraines. I'm like, what the hell is a visual migraine? Well, what a visual migraine is that it's caused by stress, is what it's caused by. And even though you may not have the headaches, you still have the migraine. Basically affects your eyesight. It makes it where you see the sparkling lights, you know, the colors and everything is distorted. And then also it's scary because you look at all of a sudden it looks like you're in a tunnel, like you're looking through a – you ever seen those kaleidoscopes? Like you're looking through a kaleidoscope. And then all of a sudden, everything just goes black. Now, I dealt with that for about maybe, oh, goodness, it was maybe about almost a month that I dealt with that. It was on and off where I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I would be watching something, and my eyes would start doing the flashing light, the kaleidoscope, and then I would just lose eyesight. And I could not believe, and I don't want to get emotional right now because it was the most scariest thing that I ever, ever, ever had to deal with because I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared to go through that. I wasn't prepared to be told that, you know, that this may be something you cannot control because, like I said, it comes from anxiety. And I did not realize that anxiety caused so much in your life. I just really did not. I've never even heard of visual migraines. And the weird part is my brother Roscoe told me that he had visual migraines. I had no clue because it's something you don't talk about. I mean, it's something that you just don't even discuss. But he was having visual migraines as well. Come to find out, my doctor, my blood doctor, she's had them. And then my husband's friend at work, her mother was having visual migraines. So it's not as uncommon as I thought it was, but it is such a scary thing to go through because you really it affects your eyesight to the point where you don't know whether you're going blind or not, and there's nothing you can really do about it because you feel like basically, oh shit, you know, I'm going blind. Anyway, I'm going to take a real quick break. It is 8:23 and we'll be back in about what, maybe a minute or maybe 2 minutes or maybe even less.
Life Jesus.
I was on mute. Hello, everybody. This is Sam Samaj Sugar, a.k.a. Sugar. If you just tuned back, we're talking about anxiety, panic attack, and believe it or not, visual migraine. Sorry about that. I have to always look and see. I haven't done this in so long. I mean, steady. But I always have to look and see and make sure that I'm on that I'm on air. So if you get like a couple of seconds of, you know, just silence, then that's the reason why. But anyway, I was talking about visual migraines and what I was going through as far as the migraines and the panic attacks and the anxiety. So as I was talking about before, I was going through that like almost every day. It was a constant. We would go out to eat, and I remember the last time we went out to eat, we went to a Italian restaurant that my husband absolutely loves, and I think I got a pastrami. I know a pastrami, the Italian restaurant, and I believe he had a pizza, which of course is that's his thing. And I remember sitting there and not really being able to see. And I thought to myself, is this going to be my life? You know, I really thought that because it was every day. You know, I would sit there and I would, when it happened, like the flashing lights or whatever, I would sit there and I would think, oh my God, is this going to be my life for the rest of my life? Because it was constant and it lasted, I think, for about maybe 3 weeks it lasted. And I think what actually, you know, every once in a while, out the right corner of my eye, I'll get like a little flash, but it's nothing like it was before. It's like a little bit and then it would stop. But and it's getting like more so like every day now since I'm stuck in the house and I'm really like having anxiety about this old, you know, coronavirus, COVID-19 crap. I'm having a whole lot of anxiety about that, which I'm sure a lot of you are. But what made it stop is when my husband came home one day and I was at work and he came home. We came home together and he set me down and he said, "You're quitting your job." He said, I'm not allowing you to work anymore." And I'm thinking to myself, "Allow? Who the hell you think you're talking to?" And he said, and I said that to him, "You know, who the hell you think you're talking to? You know, I've worked all my life, and you know, I don't need to tell me allow. You know, this is not the 1950s or 60s, buddy. I do what I want." So after I said that, he looked at me and said, "You're not working anymore." He said, "You cannot do this to yourself." I'm like, "Well, I have to work. You can't be the only one working." So I went to my doctor because I needed a return, you know, return to work because I was off for, I think, about 2 or 3 days because of the eyesight issue. And my doctor, basically, I've had my doctor for years. I love my doctor so much. His name is Dr. Lewis. He's like just, oh, my God. I can't tell you. If you guys were in my area, I would just recommend him to you. He's just that type of doctor. He looks like a basketball player. He's like 6'7", really nice looking black man. And he has, you know, he calls me Sam, which is my nickname. And that makes me feel good because he's generally caring about you. And you don't go in there thinking, okay, this is my doctor, I'm the patient. You really go in there and think that this is family and he really gives a damn. But anyway, once Big Mouth talked to him and told him what I was going through, he said, "I agree. You need to leave the job. This is what's making you have all your anxiety, your panic attacks, your visual migraines. This is what's making you go through this. And I suggest, as your husband does, that maybe this is time for you to exit." And it broke my heart because I've been working for so long and for that company for so long, and it broke my heart to have to leave. And I gave it some thought, and I thought, you know what? They're right. They're both right. You know, I can't go through my life going through this. I can't work going through this. After I made that decision, and you know, told my company that, you know, hey, this is my 2 weeks notice. I got to go, you know, and they were telling me, no. And I'm thinking, you know, I have to go. This is what I have to do. It stopped. It just stopped. Because once the reason for the anxiety or panic attacks or visual migraine was removed, and I knew it was going to be removed, the eye thing stopped. The anxiety stopped. The panic attacks just stopped. They just completely stopped. And I had been getting the panic and anxiety attacks, God, for at least about 2.5 or 3 years, which is the length of time that I had been gone from Second Life, Facebook, and Blog Talk, is because I was going through all that, and I just didn't have, you know, any desire to do anything else. And the thing is that when you have anxiety, you really don't have the desire to do, you know, things that normally make you feel good and normally make you like hobbies. You don't have the desires to do that because you're anxious about other things. And even though you try to put your mind in things that, okay, let me just, you know, let me go ahead and do a crossword puzzle, if you like crossword, let me read, or let me do this, or let me go on Second Life, or let me go to, you know, Sims or Dare.com or IMBU or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, Instagram. You lose that desire to do that. And when you're doing it, it doesn't make you feel as good as it used to, because you're basically, your anxiety is building up for other crap. Now, here lately, I've noticed that I'm having anxiety again. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely positive it's because of this epidemic thing. I'm sure that's what it is. Or pandemic, I guess they're saying it now. And the reason why is because every day is something new. Every day. Every day you get on, you know, if you're on social media like I am now again, because I had stopped being on social media for a while. And I'm back on social media because of my family and friends and so forth. And I'm back on Blog Talk because I want to do something again that I enjoy doing. And I'm doing my Sims Let's Play. But I've noticed now that I'm starting to get anxiety again. And the reason why is because, again, I'm worried, which I'm sure a lot of people are worried. It's something that every day is something I got to think about. You know, it's when you get on social media, it's right there for you. It's right in front of your face, flashing like, this many people have died, this person has did this, this bad, this that, and it's overwhelming. It really, really can. I don't care how strong you are, unless you're basically detached from everything, it can get extremely overwhelming. You know, to think about, you know, you have to be 6 feet apart from a person. You can't enjoy, you know, family and friends like you used to. You really, public transportation right now is a ticking time bomb. You know, getting on Uber or what have you. You know, I worry about my kids. You know, I worry about all of them because of the fact that each of them are in essential jobs. So I worry about, you know, one of my daughters who, you know, rides Uber. I worry about my other daughter who deals with people as well. I worry about my sons and just so much. I worry about my, you know, different people in my life and people that I know and I love, like my sister Deeb. I worry about her because she's dealing with, you know, jobs where she has to see people once in a while. My nieces, you know, my nephews, everybody that is close to me, I worry about them, and the reason I worry about them is because this, it basically shows no end in sight. So my anxiety kicks off more so because you don't see an end in it. You just don't see it. You're sitting around thinking, okay, what's going to happen? And I I know a lot of people are saying, hey, it's just like the flu, blah, 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 you know, more people have died of the flu than anything else, Jesse. You know, more people have died of the flu, but I get it, and I understand what people are saying, but numbers don't lie. They just don't lie. And the fact that, you know, we've gotten to the point where we have to wear masks. I used to make fun. I used to see, think about a year ago, I was seeing people wearing masks, and me and my husband were making fun because we were like, baby, you see these fools wearing masks like they're in Asia? And I'm like, yeah, I see this. You know, what's going on? We're ha, 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 la, 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 la. This is funny. I'm one of those people now. I don't leave my house without a mask and my gloves on. I just don't do it. And the anxiety of that is just really becoming controlling. Now, one thing I do suggest to you, if you're having anxiety, get somebody that you can talk to that you know that's strong enough to kind of ease you, kind of like have you where, you know, they can calm you down, because anxiety can just go, especially if you're by yourself, it can have you racing all over the place within your mind. You can just be going crazy and not even realize it. So if you have someone that you trust, that you know can like kind of calm you down, definitely talk to that person. Also, another suggestion, I would do like I've been doing. I've been taking a 24-hour to 48-hour break. And the reason why I do that, I mean break from social media. I just don't log in. I basically call unplug. I unplug for 24 to 48 hours. I don't deal with the media. I don't deal, you know, with anything like that. And I kind of like, it's kind of calmed me down a little bit. But of course, as soon as I get back on, and a lot of my family's like, when you get on, you know, Facebook, just don't look at stuff. But there's stuff sometimes you look at that's funny. You know, you do. There's a lot of things, you know, I have, you know, friends like Jennifer and Jazzy and, you know, some other ones that have stuff on, you know, Facebook that's funny. And I like to watch those things. And so I, you know, I do enjoy that. But for the most part, you have to unplug. Because if you're watching the news and if you're watching social media, even when you're on YouTube, it's in your face now. Because when I go to YouTube and try to do my, you know, upload my shows, my LPs, hand LPs, Life Sims, even when I try to do that, it's there. It's right there in my face and I can't escape it. So unplug for a little while. You know, give your mind a chance to rest and to not absorb everything, you know. Also, even though I know it's easier said than done, try not to panic. Try not to let it, you know, get to you. It is what it is. It's nothing we can do about it but take care of ourselves. You know, you can't worry about the next person unless they're closer to you than 6 feet. You know, you really can't worry about it. And I've noticed that me being in the house all the time, it gets to you. It really does, because, you know, we're creatures that we are made that we, you know, need to have other activities. We need to go out, you know, fresh air, whatever. It's funny, I know my daughter had mentioned, remember how it was when they would tell you to get outside and socialize and this, that, and the other. Now they're telling you to stay in, and it is just a whole different life we're living right now. But it's not the end. You know, we do have to take care of each other and take care of ourselves. And I'd rather be 6 feet apart than 6 feet under. So I'm doing what I have to do, you know, to keep myself sane. And anxiety is something that it really can have you where you're going crazy, where your head is all over the place. I'm kind of mad with myself right now. I was going to do an hour show. And I changed it to 45 minutes. I'm thinking, okay, I don't have anything to talk about for a whole hour. I'm going to change it to 40. I started to change it to 30 minutes. I'm thinking, okay, I got 45 minutes. It is 8 minutes in, and I still have a lot more to talk to you guys about. So this show may go to a different day because I do have quite a bit more to talk to you about as far as panic attacks and anxiety. We haven't really got to them. And, you know, and I had, you know, told people if they wanted to call in, they could. But I know a lot of times it's kind of hard to admit that you have anxiety. It's kind of hard. And it's not a thing of being embarrassed, but I think a lot of people, it's hard for them to admit that they are having anxieties or having panic attacks because you don't really want anybody to know. You want people to think that you're strong and that, you know, hey, I can handle it. Nothing can come my way. I don't deal with it. But let's be frank with each other. Right now, what's going on, you have a right to have anxiety. You have a right to have panic attacks. You have that right. One thing I don't wish on you is any of this, and I really don't wish the visual migraines on you, because the visual migraines, I'm telling you, they that's a whole brand new stress. That's a whole brand new thing of anxiety. It really, really is, and I don't wish that on any of you. But remember, if you are having like muscle tension, disturbed sleep, which I have a lot of disturbed sleep, people that's been talking to me on Facebook know that normally 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm up and I'm on Facebook just chatting away, but it's because I can't sleep. If you're having difficulty concentrating, fatigue, restlessness, more than likely you're having anxiety, and it's okay. It really is. If you're having symptoms of shaking, chest pains, discomfort, heart palpitations, fear of dying, losing control, fear of choking, then more than likely you're having a panic attack. There is a big difference. The bigger difference also is that with anxiety, again, it's something that goes on like almost constantly. With a panic attack is when you panic and it's just like right there and it's in the moment and it happens, and then a little bit after it doesn't happen again. I choose not to take medication. I have medication. My doctor refused, Dr. Lewis refused to give me Xanax, but he gave me something else that is not addicting because he didn't want to give me anything that's addicting. But I have medications, but I don't take it. And the reason why I'd rather deal with this than take it. And the reason why I'd rather deal with it than take it because I don't want to get addicted to something. And it is what it is. If I have a false sense of reality, then it is what it is. I would prefer having a false sense of reality, not to have a false sense of reality, than to you know, to go with that. I'd rather just be, you know, if I'm upset, if I'm having a panic attack, I'm having, you know, anxiety, let me have it. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather have that than take something and it's making me think, you know, everything's okay. Because when you disillusion yourself and thinking everything is okay, you're liable to make a mistake. And I don't want to make a mistake. I really, really don't. Everyone, just stay strong, stay healthy, stay, you know, prepared. Try to do whatever you have to do. If you have to get a hobby, like I said, mine is now Blog Talk. I'm going into Second Life more. I'm doing my Sims. I'll keep seeing how I'm handling that. You need to watch my Sim LPs. Anything that you have to do, read, whatever, write, whatever you have to do to kind of like calm yourself down, do it. If you have someone that you trust that you can talk to, and I know in this day and age, sometimes that's hard to do because people are so shitty that it's kind of hard to have someone that you can actually talk to. But if you have to have someone you can talk to, it's not over. If you want to talk to me, even though I'm having anxiety, I'm here for you. I really, really am, because we're in this together. And the anxiety that you're having, it's common. Don't think it's not. Don't look at yourself as being a failure because you're going through this, because you're not. You're not a failure. You're human. And being a human being, things that we have no control over, we have anxiety about. And that is nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of it. I was at first. I was ashamed that I was having panic attacks, visual migraines, anxiety, because I felt like I was a failure and I wasn't doing what I needed to do as a person. And I felt like, okay, I'm not strong enough to handle this. But at this point, I resigned to what's going on. And the only thing I can do is just make it better. And one thing I would urge you, if you are religious, pray. Pray that you have peace, comfort, and that you don't lose your mind during this time, because we don't know when the end in sight's gonna be for this. Only thing you can do is just take care of your mental health. We will talk about this again another time. Guys, thank you so much for all the encouragement you guys have given me. I have so many of you that's been sending me emails, and I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening to me tonight. As always, take care of yourself, be kind to each other, and mwah, sugar kisses.
I want it all.